live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, today is indeed a Monday, July the 18th. It is a few minutes after 2 o'clock. Copper is out today, but Kelsey's running that board. Hey, Kelsey, how you doing, man?
Doing well today, Phil.
Hey, appreciate you sitting in. Thank you so much.
Hey, no problem.
And right here locally in the studio, the Right Side Studios, Boomer is on the local board. How you doing, bud?
Doing great. Hey, Alabama.
Most of North Alabama, at the very least. I mean, we're like planting to the Tennessee line now.
I was just speaking ahead of the terms.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you prognosticating upon us. All right. Well, listen, we got a great show laid on for you. Hey, tell you what, Kelsey, you get that triple dipper sound effect ready, because let me tell y'all what's coming, all right? First of all, 3 o'clock, my friend Matt Clark, who's been on the show many times, but maybe you guys in Birmingham haven't heard him yet. He's the president of the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty, and he's usually got a great legal perspective. He's a constitutional scholar, and there's been some cool things that are happening in the law on conservative positions. So Matt's going to be here to unpack some of that with us at 3 o'clock. And then at 3:30, we're doing a segment. You know, usually we call it Copper and the Birdman. Copper's not here today, but it's going to be Boomer and the Birdman today at 3:30. So stand by for that, getting some perspectives from people who are pretty good at putting them out there. They're not just tech folks. They know things. So, yeah, Boomer and the Birdman at 3:30. In the meantime, I still got a triple dipper. So, Kelsey, hit it.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that we're going to run today's show on. So, yeah, number one, the Title IX rebuff. All right, so the Biden administration got it handed to them legally. And I love that. I love seeing liberals try and then fail, because usually that means good things for conservatives. But, yeah, there's been some interesting developments in the legal world regarding the idea of transgenders competing in women's sports and what that does. And will they be able to continue? Well, we'll talk about that. Title IX rebuff. That's what I'm calling number one. Number two, the pain at the pump is the point. That's the name. there's my three P's. The pain at the pump is the point. Do they want you to experience the pain at the pump? Apparently. Apparently that is part of their, you know, means to an end. So, yeah, the pain at the pump is the point in my saying, and that's number two on the triple dipper. Number three, I didn't get to it Friday. I'm going to try and get to it today. We got a lot of stuff to do, but I think it's important that we keep this one on the list, Bama Bidenomics. So, yeah, Bama Bidenomics. We're going to talk about what's happening with Bidenomics in general and how's it impacting the state of Alabama. How are you and I faring under the Biden economy? So, Bama Bidenomics, number three. But listen, you know the deal. I always start the show with what I call the right side way. It's my monologue, basically. And looking at this right now, I got to tell you, the other day I spent some time talking about truth. The fact that in a defamation case, like in the legal world, the old adage is that truth is always the best defense. Well, let me spend some time on how to apply that adage. Because in the legal sense, truth may be your best defense, but if you choose not to pursue it, then what have you accomplished? Because a lie, left unchecked, becomes truth in the minds of some because no one said otherwise. We have to sometimes take the time and put in the effort to flip the script, you know what I mean? We have to actually confront the lie and lay out the truth. As I was thinking this through, I was reminded of something that happened many moons ago in college. It was the University of South Alabama in the mid-80s, the spring of 1986, if I recall. I was very involved in campus activities, and at the time I was serving as the vice president of student government. And then came a day when this guy showed up on campus going by the name of Brother Jim. And he was an odd bird, man. He professed to be an evangelist of some type. What he really amounted to was a rabble-rouser with a Bible in his hand. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a time and a place for laying it out strong like John the Baptist, but this guy was not that guy. He was just weird as he stood in the student commons for days and yelled at students, calling them names while waving his Bible in the air, even hissing at them of all things. All the while claiming that God did not love them unless they repented of their evil ways, and he's the one who decided what evil ways were. Meanwhile, his chosen means of spreading the good news of God's love for the world was to demean, belittle, criticize, and just generally act the fool. Not only that, but he just looked like someone who was not right in the head, you know? It was like Cousin Eddie from Christmas Vacation showed up with a mean streak. And to say it drew a crowd was an understatement. For some of the hundreds who came out daily to hear his diatribes, it was comedy, and to others it was disturbing. To me, it just made me mad. Well, I wanted him gone. In my opinion, he was making a mockery of God. He was absolutely creating the wrong image and portraying nothing of the God who so loved the world that he gave his only son. Well, I talked with campus authorities. The deal came down to the fact that the SGA, the student government, had the authority to request his removal. But he was otherwise not breaking any laws, they said. Okay, well, like I said, I was the vice president of the SGA at the time. And then it ramped up even more, though, when my sweet fiancée, Charlene, who I have now been married to for over 35 years, was walking past the commons when Brother Jim spotted her wearing something he apparently didn't approve of, and he yelled out, "You hussy!" And he called on her to repent. Never knowing that she already loved the Lord and was already serving as a volunteer leader with Young Life Ministries and changing kids' lives. Well, that did it for me. I got my friend Mike on the line, who was the president of the SGA. And I told him, I said, "Mike, we got to do something. He needs to go." To my surprise, Mike refused. He said, and I'm quoting, "Phil, I can't stand him either, but he has a constitutional right to say those things. There's no law being broken here. If we kick him off campus, then who's next?" It doesn't matter how many ill-advised "yeah, buts" that I uttered, Mike held firm and he would not agree. And then he said something, though, which really struck a chord, one that I've never forgotten. He said, "Phil, if you believe he's wrong, then go out there tomorrow and counter his message. People will listen. You have as much right as he does to speak." Well, I didn't want to. I just wanted him canceled. But I couldn't argue anymore, and Mike was actually right. So I geared up, I prayed up, I studied up. I literally tabbed my own Bible, made notes, studied, and asked for some other folks to give me advice and to be praying at a certain time. And the next day, I was about as nervous as a pig in a bacon factory, but I went to the commons, and sure enough, there was old Brother Jim. And as he yelled and accused in the name of God, I walked out in front of all those students, several hundred, although it felt like thousands. And I walked up to Brother Jim in front of all of them, and he literally, believe it or not, he like crouched down, pointed his finger at me, and hissed. It was the weirdest thing. I mean, it was weird, man. And I asked the crowd if they wanted to hear what the Bible really had to say about how God feels about us. Well, the crowd went nuts, and so I read a few verses. And then Brother Jim screamed, and then I read some more. And this went on for 10 or 15 minutes, and then Brother Jim just threw his hands up in the air, literally, and he just walked away. If I recall, he left campus. Well, some people said afterwards he was just a guy pulling a stunt, that his whole shtick was designed to get folks to come speak up. I don't think so. I think he had a message that was wrong, but it took a message that was right to counter it. Now, here's why I say all that. I say all that because what I learned that day is that as badly as I want the ranks of conservatism to grow, that it won't ever grow by virtue of a cancel culture attitude. I wanted Brother Jim gone. I wanted him canceled, kaput. My friend Mike reminded me that what was really needed, though, was a healthy dose of truth. That truth is the greatest defense to a lie, but that truth left untold is of no value. The truth must make it into the public sphere, into the hearing of others, for it to take root and do any good. Now, to be sure, how you present it matters as well. Even the Apostle Paul said he had to come to the point where he knew how to relate to his audience in order to win them over. Not that his message changed, just to make sure that he was presenting it in a way in which his audience could receive it. And oh, by the way, it doesn't mean that you'll persuade everyone. You can get over that idea. There are those who are already entrenched in the lie, or that need the lie, or that benefit from the lie. But there are those who I believe are still in the majority that simply want to know the truth, and it might take you or I speaking it. So what's your platform? Is it your faith? Is it a conservative policy issue? Is it something in politics? I don't know. Maybe you go be a mentor to a single person. Maybe you have a following on a blog or a podcast. Maybe you agree to help lead a small group or work in an advocacy organization of some type. Maybe your job is to assist the person who is the actual voice of the truth by providing them with research or technical support or just inviting others to hear it. All I know is this. I learned that day, and I still believe to this day, that the freedom to be wrong is just as strong in this great nation as the freedom to be right. But in the end, the truth is on the right side. The truth is a side to be on. And if we don't like a message, a cultural shift, or a mantra of the left, then we can either sit back and wait for somebody else to do or say something, or we can speak the truth and see what happens. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. All right, Kelsey, cue us up and let's move us out. But yeah, folks, listen, I believe that with all my heart. That's the way it is. And if we don't speak the truth, speak it in love if you have to, speak it with respect, but speak it nonetheless. If we don't do that, then it's like the lie is going unchecked and people will never hear what the truth really is. It's up to us, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.